Asking for you, Lord, to anoint us, Lord, to bring your word, the message that you've laid on our heart, Lord, and hoping that it be an encouragement, uplifting to the people, Lord. I ask, Lord, for you to have your divine way, Lord, in this service, and we would ever give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and I'd like to begin reading at verse 20. This is Paul speaking about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And you may be seated. What I want to point out from this, just to put a little background for this, what's on my heart, Abraham had a message that was given to him. He had his message, the message of his hour, in other words. And Abraham believed that message. At no time in his mind did Abraham, what Paul is saying, that at no time in Abraham's mind did he doubt the message that God had given him. That he was going, him and Sarah were going to have a son. Not only that, but that all the land which he could see belonged to him and his descendants. That his descendants, his seed, would possess the gates of his enemies. And Abraham believed these things. He didn't, Paul said he didn't stagger through unbelief. He never had a time when he, now, of course, like all of us, we have at one time or other prayed about some situation and then turned around and tried to help God work it out. Abraham was guilty of the same thing. By listening to Sarah, they tried to work out how God's plan was going to be. But Abraham never doubted that he was going to have a son. He never doubted that his seed would possess the gates of his enemies. Abraham believed the message of God that was given to him. Now, Sarah, the weaker vessel, according to the scriptures, it seems like she had a time where she kind of doubted. But Abraham didn't doubt. Abraham didn't stagger through unbelief. He didn't have a time when he thought, well, maybe this isn't just exactly quite right. I began to think about, and if you want to turn me into scriptures to Numbers chapter 13, I began to think about Israel and the message that Israel had and to come out of Egypt. And if you realize, what they had was a message that part of what they had had been passed down to them from Abraham. That God had told Abraham that his seed was going to journey in a foreign land and be in bondage for 400 years, but then he would bring them out. And so part of what they had to hold on to was something that had been passed down to them from Abraham. But when it came time for that message, when it came time for that part to be brought to manifestation, then God sent a prophet with the word to show them how it was going to be brought into manifestation. Before Moses came along, before God sent him with the word, they didn't know how it was going to happen. But then their message was not only to come out of Egypt, but that God had given them a land that he had promised to Abraham. And that the same message that Abraham had, they were the seed of Abraham. So they were to possess the gates of their enemies. And this land was given to them, and God told him, he gave it to them, and told them all they needed to go was to do was go take it. Now I want to read from Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. And this is speaking about when the spies came back. They went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelled in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwelled in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelled by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Here is somebody that didn't have a doubt about the message. The message for their day was the land belonged to them. Go up and take it. The enemies will fall before you. And here's one that he didn't have a doubt about that. But with the others, they began to look at the circumstances, and the circumstances looked to be too great to overcome, too great an obstacle. And as they begin to look at that, they begin to reason. And as they begin to reason, it brought about doubt in their mind on whether they could take the land or not. And then they begin to through unbelief, to say, we can't do it. We're not able. And by saying that, they were saying that what God had told them wasn't true. What Moses had told them that God had said wasn't true. In other words, Moses told them a lie. But the thing about it was, for them to have the land was not something new that Moses had brought to them. This was something that had been passed down from the time of Abraham. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we had gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come from the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. So you see where they began to doubt their message. Let's go on down to Numbers 14, to the 14th chapter. It says, "And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Where is not better for us to return into Egypt? Then said one to another, Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt." What they did is what there's been a lot of people do in this day. They doubted the message. They began to say they were better off where they had been and wanted to return back to the denominations or back to some kind of, well, there's no other way to say it, like a dog returned to its vomit. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jehoneth, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle and congregation before all the children of Israel. They became actually people who meant harm to those who were going to stay with the message. You ever notice there's people leave the message, and when they do, they've always got to have some bad report about it for them to leave. And now with the way things are on the internet, they get on there and through social media, they begin to run this down and run that down and question this and question that. And what they're trying to do is spread it. They'll give an account to God for that. And then there's people, especially young people, get on there, and I'll tell you what, don't even waste your time reading that stuff. Don't even waste your time. But there's been some to get on there and read this stuff, and then it began to bring doubt in their mind, which for, in order for it to bring doubt in their mind, they never believed it to begin with. They had a message. And you know, Caleb believed that message. And Joshua. They believed it with all their heart. And they were willing to stand up before the whole congregation and tell them that. But then the people meant them harm, meant to do harm to them because they stood firm on the message. They stood firm on something that the people no longer could believe. But what brought about their doubt? What caused them to disbelieve the word of God? They had to at some point, the reason they cried out to Moses and Aaron, they had to believe at some point that the ministry had sold them a bill of goods that wasn't right. They had to begin to doubt the ministry that God had placed there with them. The thing is, the ministry wasn't saying anything different than what the prophet Abraham had said. They were saying the same things. And God, when he sent this prophet Moses, he sent him with signs and performed wonders before the children of Israel. And up until this time that they came to Kadesh, there were so many times that God over and over and over again proved that he was with them. God proved himself that what he had promised them would be true because he stood behind his word of bringing them out. He never forsook them. He never left them. There was never a time that they journeyed where either the pillar of fire or the cloud wasn't with them. It was always with them. No wonder God passed judgment on them and said they were unworthy to go into the land because of their unbelief. Because they had, it wasn't a natural thing for a pillar of fire to be leading people. That was a natural thing according to man's thinking. It wasn't natural to have a cloud to lead you. That was supernatural. Those were supernatural things that happened in their midst. And there's been supernatural things that have happened around this message. And name me one other preacher that could come and do what God did through the prophet who was sent to us. Oh, there's been many impersonations. There's even been impersonations of it around this message. There's been people that one time seemed to gravitate toward anyone that said they had a gift of discernment. That was all impersonations. Hit and miss. But at no time did you ever hear where Brother Branham called somebody out and said, you have this and that and the other. What, it wasn't true. You've got cancer. It was true. You've got diabetes. It was true. You're suffering from hemorrhoids. It's true. Every time. And it wasn't Brother Branham. It was because God was behind that message. How could people see that supernatural? And yeah, you say, well, they weren't in the meetings. No, but we have video as well as tape showing these things happening. So they've saw the supernatural. Do you know what they've said? They've said that the supernatural pillar of fire that peeled over Brother Branham's head was nothing. One person said something about, well, some light appeared over the Beatles' heads. What does that make them? And then there was some that said, oh, that cloud never did even happen. It never existed. And what in the world did Life magazine take a picture of? Science said it was a cloud. But they tried to say it was something else. Some kind of jet stream or something or other. They've seen the supernatural, but they're denying it. The same thing the children of Israel did. They saw the supernatural in their midst. And God brought them out through a supernatural means. And he was going to give them a land through a supernatural means. And their children who went in to possess the land, God gave them the land through a supernatural means. In other words, the inhabitants to reason were more than what they were able to overcome. But yet God gave them victory every time. God, in this last day, has proved himself over and over and over again. And not just in the prophet's ministry. God's proven himself here. Not to lift anybody up or make anybody anything or make myself anything, but God has proven himself here. Caleb believed. He said, give me that mountain. The one with the giants, I'll take that mountain. And God, looking at the faith of Caleb before even that this happened, what I just mentioned happened over in Joshua, the book of Joshua. But before that, God spoke to Moses and said, Caleb believes he's going to go into the land. He said, because he has another spirit and has followed me fully. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Be not shaken in mind or troubled by spirit or by word or by anything. People that I've seen turn their back on this message, it doesn't trouble me. I feel sorry for them. It was a shock. Some of them that left, it was a shock. But then there's some that left that as you get to talking around the message, around places with different ministries, it wasn't such a shock after all. They had been doubting for some time. The Bible says that God, it says in Ephesians, God gave us a fivefold ministry. It said the reason he gave us the fivefold ministry, that we be not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So a fivefold ministry that preaches the truth, preaches the word fully, and exposes the devil and exposes the working of that Antichrist spirit. Says there are men who wait in, that lay in wait to. That's why God sent a fivefold ministry. To point out these ones that lay in wait to deceive. I don't need to point at names. I can just point at doctrines and beliefs. how far off some have got. Remember when they came to Jesus, they were talking to him about John the Baptist, and he said, "What went you out to see, a reed shaken in the wind?" That was not John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the Bible says, came forth from his mother's womb full of the Holy Ghost. At the age of 9 years old, he went off into the wilderness to seek God. He was dead in his mother's womb, the Bible records, until the salutation came from Mary concerning the birth of the Savior coming, and that word caused him to come to life. Power of the supernatural. You know, those that were around Jesus in that day, they saw the supernatural around him all the time. He lived in a supernatural world. And they couldn't, the ones that were against Jesus, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, and so forth, that were against him, they couldn't deny what he was doing. But they didn't believe who he was. They had no answer for how he could do the things he did. And the reason they had no answer is because it didn't fit their thinking. And there were many followers of the message up until a time in Jesus' day. Until he said, "Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And after he said that, the Bible says many left him. Many all of a sudden said, "I don't no longer believe this message," and left him. I read to you tonight in Romans 4 about Abraham, him staggering not through unbelief, and that it was imputed to him for righteousness. Our belief in the message that God sent us is imputed to us for righteousness. That's what Paul's saying here. Not just to Abraham, but to all. All that would believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Since I come to this, to the knowledge of this message, I was just a young boy, and my dad would sit down with me. I was about, I think about 7 years old, something like that. My dad would sit down with me and he would show me things out of the message. He would show me different things that that Brother Branham said. I would sit with my parents and listen to the tapes. I believed it from the start. I just accepted, not because I was being brainwashed by my parents, but there was something to me, you know. And when I remember when a brother, it was Brother Hankins, many of you maybe don't know him, but he brought to the church where we were going, he brought those films of the 20th Century Prophet and Deep Calls to the Deep. And I'll never forget the first time I saw those films. I was about 8 or 9 years old the first time I saw those films, maybe about 8. And as time went on and I got older, I did like a lot of teenagers, I rebelled. And I dipped into things of the world. But there was never a doubt in my mind what was right. I have never in all my life had a doubt about this message or about the messenger. I've never questioned it because I've seen the supernatural and I've seen the word line up through there and through the words of the prophet. I've saw it line up with the word. I don't understand how anybody could ever doubt it. They obviously weren't born again. No born again Christian, no born again believer would ever doubt this message. But where they, no matter what they are, whether they were preacher or layman or whatever, they couldn't have been born again to turn their back on this message. I was talking to Brother Burley Williams here recently. He called me, and I was talking with him, and he began to express to me different things, you know, while we were talking. And he had talked to another minister, and this minister was asking him, saying, how could people turn from this message and go back to a doctrine of Trinity? How could they go back to a Trinitarian? Brother Burley told him they were never born again. If they'd have been born again, they'd have never went back to that. But you know, Paul said in Hebrews, everything that could be shaken is going to be shook. And the only things that's going to remain is what can't be shaken. And I believe that there's a shakening that's went on. And it shook loose some people. Make believers. Oh yeah, Brother Branham talked about those three kinds of believers. He said that unbeliever, you don't got to worry about him, he won't stick around. But that make-believer, he'll stick around. And you remember after all them left Jesus there in John the 6th chapter, and all of them left Jesus, there was a make-believer that stayed. Judas. Judas stayed all the way up. He made it all the way through, but he never made it to the upper room. Judas never got born again. And he began to doubt the message that Jesus had. He had his own version of the message. Met some of them, haven't you? Had your own version of the message. They read this and they read that and they got their version of it. Judas had his own version. And he thought that he was going to force Jesus' hand. His version of the message was Jesus was going to free them from the Roman rule. And he was going to force Jesus' hand. But all he ended up doing was fulfilling the scriptures. He became the betrayer. He had his part. You notice where Paul says that all those that can be shaken will be shaken. He says that our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. People who have witnessed these things around this and been around. Friends, listen. Many of them that slept this message, they have heard the ministry of so many different ministers around this message, preaching this end time message. They've heard it in camp meetings and conventions and special meetings and all this. They'd had other ministers through. So they heard. But they have their own version of the truth. Some of them stumbled at election. They believe that people of the message believe that they are the elite. They're special. You are if you belong to God. Branham says, and believest thou this? He said, sure, I believe in miracles and signs and the power of the gospel of Christ. Yes, I love him with all my heart, and I know he's real. If the whole world gossips, that don't make a doubt in my mind. I believe it with all my heart. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, the greatest religion world is Mohammedan. We all know that. Second is Buddha. Third is Christianity. That's Catholic and Protestant all together. And I've stood with the Bible in one hand and the Quran in the other and challenged 10,000 Mohammedans and all the other. Let the God that is God speak. Nothing to be ashamed of in Christianity. If this isn't the truth, then I'm through with it. If this isn't the truth, it's the biggest error the world's ever known. But if it is the truth, then I'm willing to die for it. And I have found every word is the truth. There's no shadow of doubt in my mind. It says again, and my Redeemer liveth. Now on the different thoughts now today of religious worship, in many places they worship the ancestors that's gone on. For instance, if we go to China this morning and speak the word of God, or Japan, they would wonder what God you were speaking of, because every person that dies is a god as soon as he dies. And if we go where the Buddha worshipers or the different or the Mohammedans, they don't believe that Christ rose from the dead. They don't believe he even died. They say he got on a horse and rode off and went to heaven. But today, we really have the truth and the light of life. There's no doubt in my mind today, as a gospel preacher of Christianity, I have no doubt in all my mind, not one shadow of doubt, but what we positively have the sealed truth. Other religions might be all right, but we have the truth. He says here, we have the sealed truth. The truth has to be revealed to you. Once you have a revelation of this message, there's nothing that will be able to cloud your mind with doubt concerning this message or this prophet. I've recently went in and preached messages here showing you different things concerning the prophet. Showing in the scriptures where it talks about God sending a prophet in this last day. Showing you through the scriptures. And then went through and showed you the miracles and the discernment that happened in his ministry that's undeniable. Shouldn't be one doubt. If there's a doubt, then you need to get born again. The sealed truth. We've got the seven seal truth. Brother Branham, later on in that same message, My Redeemer Liveth, he goes on to say, and we risen with him today are positively seated with him, and now ready for the rapture to come, waiting for the great time, our flesh shall rest in hope. We know there's not a bit of doubt in my mind today. There's not a bit of doubt in any person's mind here who's ever been born again. But what they'll be there just as sure as there's a heaven above. You've got to be. Every promise is right to it. That's all. Just be resurrected with him and then you'll live with him. Love him. Seated together in heavenly places. Waiting for that great time. We're waiting. That's what we're waiting on. Is that great time. There's not a doubt in my mind what is going to happen. The message of attunement. Brother Branham says, no doubt in my mind, but what Jesus had in his mind when he was here on earth was that infallibility of God's eternal word. For we know that in him dwelled the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The entire Godhead was in him. He was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but dwelled in human form. The theophany of God, the great image of God that he had made man in, then placed him on earth. He had a body. God isn't without a body. God's got a body, and it looks like a man. Moses saw it. Others saw it, and it looked like a man. And it's just an impression this is of what this is. Everything on earth, the beauty, the sweetness, the beauty of the earth, it's nothing else in the world but an answer to a far better than that that waits us when we leave this world. For everything in the earth is just a pattern of that which is in heaven. Everything that's good, everything that's righteous, everything that's beautiful, trees, birds, everything's just a pattern of what it is in heaven. Our own life is just a pattern. It's just a shadow, not the real thing. It's the negative side. It takes death to develop the picture to put us back in the theophany we come from. Then in the resurrection, we come in the likeness of resurrected body. What a beautiful, not only beautiful, but it is the real solemn truth of God's eternal word that will be like him. I just was speaking to you about all the times throughout Brother Branham's ministry where he called people out, told them who they were, where they were from, what they suffered from. And said, you're healed. And there was testimony that the people were healed. And you know, when you talk to denominational people who of old who have any knowledge of Brother Branham, many of them will say, oh, he was a real man of God. He was a prophet when it came to the miracles and the healing. Watch out for his doctrine. Why would God send somebody with that gift and not give them the truth. Those gifts were only to get the attention of the people. It wasn't God performing a circus act. But they were pulls to get the attention of the people. See, that third pull wasn't to everybody. That was the opening of the word. Revealing of the seals. It wasn't to everybody. When you think of, there's people who claim to believe this message, but their own lives deny that they believe it. Just to say you believe it ain't good enough. There's people around here in Dixon say they believe it, but don't go to church. They're in for a rude awakening if they continue on the path they're on. I pray to God they don't. I pray that the voice of God will somehow speak through to them. I was reading in the message. Brother Branham said, he was talking to the people. This was in 1958, we would see Jesus in Dallas, Texas. And he was talking to the people. And he said, talked about the woman who touched Jesus' garment, and Jesus turned around and said, somebody touch me. I felt virtue go from me. And then Jesus saw the woman and knew it was her that had touched him. Brother Branham said, if you here in this service, if I would tell you something about yourself and tell you what's wrong with you, would you never have a doubt about it again? I wonder if, of all the people that were called out, their names said, their sickness said, and their healing give them, how many of them went on to believe the message? Kept believing that God has sent Brother Branham a prophet. Or just received their healing and went on. Because I've seen people come in here and God heal them. And they're shipwrecked today. Seen people leave this message, men leave this message over some other woman. Leave their wife, leave this message to be with some other woman. How could they do it? Somewhere there was a doubt in their mind. Even when I backslid, I never had a doubt about this message. I never ever wondered, is it really right? I knew it was. I knew the only messed up thing was me. But I pray for those. I pray for those, some that have never been born again, were never born again, were talked to or read something somewhere. Or something that they wanted to do. Like wear makeup or pants or cut their hair or whatever. Because they wanted to do those things, they left this message and said, I got to go find God. And went to find a God to allow them to do those things. I was thinking today about Israel. The children of Israel, when they went into battle and they fought against these other nations and they killed these people. And, you know, there are people today, they don't believe that. How could a God be behind that? You ever had anybody ask you, how could God watch these people be killed? See, that's also why that those that say they believe in Jesus and they don't believe, some of them act like they don't believe anybody ever goes to hell. Everybody who dies, no matter what they've done, when they die, they automatically get angelic status and they've went to heaven. Got a lot of religious people. That's all they got is religion. You know what kind of religion they got? Some of them got Jezebel religion. Doubt this message because of something that they want to do, somehow they want to dress or something, you know, and so they doubt this message. Been some in our own midst, and they've heard it preached. They've heard it preached and saw it showed in the scriptures. But you know what? They obviously must not believe that those scriptures really mean what I said they meant. But I didn't bring anything new. I've only preached what the prophet taught us. I haven't brought anything new. I preach what Paul preached. No doubt. Aren't you glad that you can say tonight, there's no doubt in my mind? Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, for you to bless the word, Lord, that has come forth to the people tonight, Lord. Bless your people, Lord. Be with them, Lord. And those, Lord, that have work tomorrow, I pray you be with them. Watch over them. Give them safety traveling. And those that have to drive home tonight, Lord God, maybe from distances, I pray you'll be with them and watch over them. Give them safety on the roads, Lord. And I pray that you return us back here on Sunday at the appointed time, Lord. We ask, God, that you'll come and speak to us on Sunday. Lord, open your words. Open your word to us, the words of life. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ.